Al?
Hello.
Hey.
I was just debating whether to send you a text message.
I'm just eating my pine chips.
It's like we've never been away.
Welcome to the Conquistaballs. Join us in 1992 as the Conquistaballs face each other in the Royal Rumble. The four contenders left in the ring are the Royal World Champion Cameron Phillips, Nasty Boy Owen Taylor, The Rocket Phil Doyle, and Geordie Allen Milburn. Only tonight on the Conquistaballs.
Should we get going?
Probably.
Why not?
Yeah, because it's all gone to pot, really, isn't it? So.
What's new?
Is that how we're starting? It's all gone to pot.
It's all gone to pot.
Is that because, Cameron, we're here with the topical Royal Rumble special?
Yeah, because originally we planned, and I can't even remember when we last recorded, like a full Conquistaballs episode.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away,
and the original plan was, and I distinctly remember us saying this, oh, it's the Royal Rumble next month, it must have been September, and we went, oh, we'll do the Rumble 92 episode, and that'll be great, because we can tie that in with the Royal Rumble,
yeah.
And it'll be really fantastic. It'll
be really good.
It is today the 7th of April.
So how do we all enjoy WrestleMania then?
WrestleMania 9 then, yeah?
Yeah. do the modern day stuff really quick. A sentence for WrestleMania.
I'll go first. Late 90s WCW, great undercard, poor main events.
Ewan?
Fuck Mojo Rawley.
Al?
I just want to watch the Hardy Boys entrance again.
I don't blame you, actually.
My one word summarization of the whole thing would be delete, and that's it.
Nice.
WWF superstars compete in the Royal Rumble for the undisputed WWF Championship, including Jake the Snake Roberts, the Barbarian, the Model Rick Martel, the Berserker, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Nasty Boy Sags, Repo Man, Sergeant Slaughter, alleged Real World Champion Ric Flair, Hercules, Colonel Mustafa, the Macho Man Randy Savage, Skinner, the British Bulldog Davey Boy Smith, the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, Haku, Shawn Michaels, the Warlord, El Matador, Sid Justice, IRS, Nikolai Volkov, the Texas Tornado, Virgil, The Undertaker, the Big Boss Man, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Superfly Snuka, and the immortal Hulk Hogan. It's time to rumble! It's time for the Royal Rumble!
So we're going back to the 1992 Royal Rumble. I don't know about anyone else, but this was my first ever pay-per-view I watched.
WrestleMania 8 was mine.
So we all sort of got our first taste of wrestling in 1992.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
But I say this was taped for me by one of the guys that my dad knew through the business. And they were in a meeting, and he essentially gave me this VHS tape, which sounds really dodgy when I'm retelling this story now.
Here's a tape, son, enjoy it.
This is going to sound even worse, because I remember his words being, this is what all the kids seem to be into.
Wow.
Oh, no.
And he handed me this tape. This could be horribly misconstrued.
Was his name Rolf?
No, his name was not Rolf.
Was it Jimmy?
His name was Brian.
Oh.
And he taped because he had Sky, and it was kind of a relatively new thing around Dumfriesway. And
so was running water last week.
Well, and he's all right, Ayrshire. And this was the 1992 Rumble, and so this pay per view has many a fond memory as being the pay per view that I sat at, watched about five times, agog. Wondering what the hell this was all about, and it was great, and I got really, really into it.
I think it would have been a good one to start with, because it starts with Vince McMahon just reading out a list of names.
Oh, that's
pretty
wonderful.
Much, yeah.
So it's like an introduction to like the world of WWF as it stood.
It is pretty much just a list of like the names of the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here's the roster.
He's there going, you know, the usual kind of growly Vince intro, you know, Hulk Hogan, Sergeant Slaughter. It's just great.
I miss that.
There's a few of those weird kind of like late 80s like hangover people left, aren't there? Nikolai Volkov's there, is he?
Yep, he's there.
Nikolai Volkov's there, yeah.
He's some rescue dudes there.
He's only there as a substitute.
I was just about to say, yeah, he's there as a sub, isn't he? They mention it.
He's there because...
Is it Sags from the Nasty Boys?
He's got a Knobs from the Nasty Boys. Got a shoulder injury / being stabbed.
Well, that'll be a cause for a shoulder injury. To be fair,
they are a Nasty Boy.
Great, we're at the Knickerbocker Arena.
Someone said
January 19th, 1992, Albany, New York,
the capital of New York,
indeed. The WWF world title has been vacated after the debacle of Survivor Series 91 on Tuesday in Texas.
Scummy Jack Tunney stripped Hogan of the belt. What a scumbag.
He did,
still
Alan.
Burns. Right? Still burns for Alan.
Still real to him, damn it. So the winner, for the first time ever, the winner of the Royal Rumble will get automatically become WWF World Champion.
Good God.
And so that is the thing that hangs up. So as your undercard goes tonight, you've really only got one singles match, which will come to later, and obviously it can't be for the WWF title, it's for the Intercontinental, because your main event is essentially the Royal Rumble itself.
Yeah.
As it should be.
As it should be, yes. But yeah, I've put on my notes here... Vince goes on about alleged world champion Ric Flair in that intro.
Yeah, I'm guessing Ric Flair is declaring himself the champion. I can't remember exactly the reason for that.
He had left WCW after a fallout with Jim Herd.
Oh, yes.
But when he left, he was still recognized as the NWA world champion.
That's what it was. Okay.
So he's the belt, didn't he?
Ric Flair's whole argument is the fact that apparently he was owed the $25,000 deposit back for him to hand back the belt, physically hand back the belt. And he never received that money, so he just carried the belt with him onto WWF television.
As you do.
At the end of 1991. So they didn't actually... I don't think they could actually name the NWA on screen.
Here's a belt.
But he was...
They didn't cover the name, though, did they, from what I recall? It was just the belt, wasn't it?
That'd be great if they put a sticker over it.
Was it not like the big gold belt they referred to it as?
The video distorted it.
Did they distort it?
They did it at Survivor Series 91, yes.
But was it not live at Survivor Series 91, though? Not on the broadcast,
I wonder if that would have been like after the fact kind of distortion.
It's
on the video.
Yeah. Did he not carry down to the ring one of the tag titles?
No, that's because he had to, because eventually they said they couldn't use the belt on telly.
They got
some old tag team belt from the carry instead.
All right, fair enough.
Isn't that essentially what WCW did? They dusted off like an old belt for the night to crown a new champion.
I think so.
It was like an old television title belt or something. They just kind of literally put like some duct tape on it and wrote a name on it. Like, there you go, there's the belt.
And then Hacksaw Jim Duggan finds it in the bin.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So this card, the way Vince runs down this card is amazing. It makes it sound incredible already. So your opener then, as I say, because the undercard for this pretty much focuses on tag matches.
Look, the division's in such a good space at the moment, isn't it?
This is our opening contest, a tag team attraction scheduled for one fall. Oh!
Well, some more than others.
What are you suggesting about this dynamic team up in this opening match? There,
here's
Cameron.
Our opener in with the Orient Express with Fuji and the new foundation, which is consisting of Jim the Anvil Neidhart with Owen Hart, who appeared to have gone sort of full on early 90s with the attire this evening.
Yeah, my problem, like, straight away, they come down the ring. There's one tag team who just aren't bothering to wear matching clothes, and the other team are just matching way too much. Like, I don't mind them matching stuff, but there's just way too much. And the Anvil, you know, he needs a singlet. He shouldn't be wearing just trousers. I'm sorry.
No, he looks wrong.
He needs something just up there just to give him some support, I think, for his linebacker belly.
Are you suggesting a Cassius Ohno-style basketball jersey?
Yes, I am.
Would be the thing
anything,
to go for.
Anything for me. Look, it doesn't look right with him not in a singlet. I'm sorry.
I've put it down here in the first notes, God, I miss Owen.
In this match, I think I'm going to skip a little bit, but he does like a top rope springboard.
He does, yeah.
And then like he does it towards the end, he does a suicide dive over the top rope. In 92!
Yeah, he's...
not the first thing he does.
This is probably the... I would say Owen is probably the best part of this match.
By far.
That's not exactly difficult.
Look, I think this tag team is okay. Me and Cameron have had this discussion. I thought it was a good opening contest.
Well, the new foundation?
Yeah.
Or the Orange Express? I mean, the Orange Express, they're rubbish, but they're good heels.
No, the match in itself.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed the match. I'm not saying you're wrong.
The Orange Express are great at putting people over.
Yeah, they really do. There's some great heel work in there because obviously they got Fuji's with him as well, isn't he? So he's, you know, doing shenanigans and stuff.
They spend the first couple of minutes of the match just getting absolutely battered, though. The new foundation work them over grand style.
But it's good because they get a little bit at the beginning and then they just grind them with heel heat for like the next 5 minutes, don't they?
Yeah.
Which is as it should be.
Yeah, it's at this early part of the match where Bobby the Brain is already kind of starting to hyperbole mode on commentary.
I am nervous. I am really, really nervous. Because I know in a few short minutes, when Ric Flair walks down that aisle, he's going to come back with the goal. I just feel it. Well, what number did he draw, Brain? Well, I'm not real sure.
Now, I would wager there's arriving early for the Royal Rumble and getting an early number, and there's arriving about an hour and a half before the match actually starts. Yeah.
But Heenan tonight, let's just like focus on this one second. Heenan tonight is, I think, is near enough peak Heenan.
He's very much peak Heenan. Yeah, we'll get to that a bit more later on, definitely.
He kind of builds to a crescendo at some points, but he's just Heenan, man. And to digress slightly, I quite like how Corey Graves at the moment is kind of channeling the spirit of Bobby Heenan with his commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Oh, yeah, Corey Graves is amazing.
The best thing on the announce team by Country Mile right now.
Between Jericho's light-up scarf and feathered hair, I feel like I'm living in a Bon Jovi video right now.
He's just a great heel commentator. Like, obviously he's not as good as Heenan is, but Heenan's doing a masterclass tonight. A masterclass.
The foundation that Heenan left was to be heel, but not be really annoying with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's like when Michael Cole tried to go ultra heel on Jerry Lawler. It was just annoying.
It's stupid, yeah.
And it was just like, you're just there looking at him going, you fucking idiot. And not in a kind of like, oh, I want him beat up way. You know, I want him to take a half hour slot of one WrestleMania. In a kind of way of like, no, I just don't want to listen to him. Whereas here's like, you know, Bobby the Brain does this all night. And he is, you know, he can see kind of why he would go along with the people he's going along with because they're heels.
Yeah.
But he's brilliant because of it. Anyway, getting back to the match. There's a lot of talk about other kind of... Who's wrestling?
That's pine chips, isn't it?
No, I finished with pine chips.
You like feeding the microphone your pine chips?
I thought you might appreciate it, so I'm just jamming it down the microphone as you speak.
Al's house is a mess right now.
Delicious.
Just for research purposes, Al, what type of pie?
It was steak pie.
Steak pie. Lovely. I do like a
brand,
good steak pie.
Can I have the brand of the pie, please?
Any kidney?
Tesco's.
Oh, wow.
There is other pies available.
No, there isn't. It's because I work for Tesco.
Anyway.
That's the pie segment, Dan. Back to the wrestling.
Yeah, back to the wrestling.
Brought to you by Frank Bentos.
That's the traditional pie section, yes.
The pie's available.
Who the jingle? What's Al eating tonight, dude?
There's a lot of this match which is essentially a rest hold and then followed by move on to the next bit.
Mm.
Pat Tanaka kind of looks like he's arrived in his pyjamas.
Yeah. So I mean, he's not even bothering.
As much as Bobby Heenan kind of rips the piss out of the new foundation for saying they've arrived in the night attire, Pat Tanaka looks like that is the one in this match who genuinely looks like he just woke up.
Yeah.
Well, they've come all the way from Japan, you know, they're tired.
On the train as well, the Orient Express.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll mention this a bit more later on because there's a theme tonight of, and I hadn't noticed this before, of anyone who isn't American basically just gets the country of origin. So the Orient Express are announced as from Japan. They're not announced from anywhere in Japan.
Well, what's the point? This is just, you know, who cares? It's outside of America, isn't it? What's the point?
It even extends to the Mountie, who's just announced as from Canada.
Exactly. Well, surely as the Mountie, his jurisdiction covers all of Canada.
Well, no, because they're a federal system.
Move along, Cameron. You ruined my joke.
Anyway, right. Okay, carry on. There's a lot of talk as well during this match about other events of the night. They run through the substitutions for the Royal Rumble.
There's a little bit too much of that at the start, I think. Like, they've got like a decent match going on. And
That's part of my problem with it. It's like it's so just a laid out opener. There's nothing on the line.
Yeah.
There's no reason for these two teams to really fight each other. There's no hot burning feud. It's
look,
just,
look. This is 1992. You didn't need a hot burning feud for a pay-per-view match. It was just a pay-per-view match.
I'd wager,
it didn't involve jobbers.
I'd wager, Al, it fucking helps.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I deserved the F-bomb on that one then. I'm sorry, Alan, it did.
It's a solid enough match, but I just didn't really care. Yeah.
But take Owen out and it's not.
And, you know, at the time, probably when I was 11, this would have been the best thing ever. And this was like my first wrestling match I ever saw. It must have been.
It's blown your mind.
And I couldn't remember that much about it. And as soon as the new foundation came out, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this. But I was like, oh, yeah, and then it was Coco Beware. And it was like, yeah, anyway. But Owen Hart is the best thing about this match by absolute far.
Basically doing what? He's like 15, 20 years ahead of the curve with what he's doing in the match.
Well, I mean, how far are you away from your 2 years away from him becoming the King of Hearts?
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yes.
And like, you're 2 years away, just over 2 years from that opener at WrestleMania 10, which is phenomenal. Between the two of them, Bret and Owen. So I'd say he is pretty far ahead of the curve, but he will come into his own pretty quick.
Yeah,
at this time.
But it would take a long time, I think, for the other wrestlers to catch up with what he's doing in the ring, though, isn't it?
Oh, totally.
It'll be like, you know, late 90s good ECW stuff. You know, the Jerichos and all that, when they kind of reached ECW, that's when that kind of style became more prevalent, probably.
The match should be pretty much goes that, as they, the New Foundation get the lead on at the start, they start dominating. Then there's a moment where Fuji uses his cane to beat on Owen when he's running the ropes, and that seems to be the turning point for the Orient Express to take charge of the match.
Obviously, you hit him with a cane. It's steel, isn't it, for Christ's sake?
Yeah, no, exactly. Mm. And then there's the whole thing of the anvils trying to get in, he's trying to get the hot tag. There's one moment where Owen does make it to the ropes and tag, but the referee doesn't see it.
It's a great hot tag when they get to it.
Yeah, and then eventually the New Foundation get the pin.
There's that segment where Fuji puts his cane and hangs it in the corner, and Owen's shoulder goes straight through it.
Oh yeah,
it's nice hidden cane work by Mr. Fuji.
He's done a lot.
The Stooge.
There's a lot of cane work in this. I do like the fact that Owen's hot tag, when he eventually does get it, is like the weakest thing ever. You know how usually when they get hot tags, they like leap halfway across the ring and extend the hand out. It's like this last gasp kind of. In this one, he just kind of limps over and goes. Like that, and then Anvil just comes charging in. It just kind of limply hits into the Anvil, and that's about it.
My job's done.
The New Foundation is getting a push now. They're well on the way, and they're going to be, you know, getting a push throughout 1992.
Well, it does end the match with, are they going to be worried about the Beverly Brothers?
I think more worried about the Beverly Brothers.
Oh no, wait. Jim Neidhart gets sacked. That's right. That's what that was.
Oh, is that why Coco Beware came into it?
Yes.
Really? Oh, dear.
Yeah.
What a great replacement for the Anvil. Birdman. Jesus Christ.
I say hot tag to Anvil. Anvil cleans house. Owen planches Tanaka in the aisle and then gets back into the ring quickly because Neidhart rocket launchers him into Tanaka, and then they get the three count on that way. So it's grand. As I say, nice for me, serviceable opener, not much heat behind it, difficult to kind of care, felt a little bit long.
They got you into it there. By the end of it, they got you into it, didn't they, which is the main thing.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's it. And it's fine. And it's a perfectly serviceable match. I wouldn't say it's like I wouldn't say it's the best ever start to a pay per view ever.
No. Well,
but
you know,
it's decent enough.
The way to kind of maintain that momentum is by having Lord Alfred Hayes talk in the monotone for 5 minutes about a wrestling match you didn't see.
And here we see the Mountie really pummel Bret Hart with that belt. Bret Hart, don't forget, was incapacitated by a very high fever, a very weakened Bret Hart who lost the Intercontinental Championship to the Mountie. But the Mountie, not satisfied with just taking that championship, that title away from Bret Hart, he had to belabor him with these brutal kicks. And now suddenly his attention was diverted because here comes the hot Scott Roddy Piper to the assistance of his friend.
The house show footage of the Mountie defeating Bret Hitman Hart for the Intercontinental belt, which is commentated in immense detail by Alfred as he goes through it.
Yeah,
what was his temperature? He had some ridiculous temperature.
It's like
410.
They give it in Fahrenheit, obviously, so it's like 114 or something like that, isn't it?
Right.
Or it seems to vary. I think it's, you know, I remember getting like the WWF annual in 1992. And it did mention that Bret Hart lost his Intercontinental title as a result of having a temperature of 103. And it was just like, right, okay. Basically, you know, you'd be dead. But I think it was like the same temperature as Seth Rollins had before WrestleMania this year.
Yeah.
Because that guy was hotter than the surface of the sun, it would seem. God love him. But yeah, you get like, if it was done these days, it would be like all on YouTube.
Yeah, they just post on YouTube.
It'd all be
they?
Like mobile camera footage. But now it's like, you know, some sort of amateur camera.
That's how they did when they dropped the belt from Balor to Samoa Joe in NXT.
Yeah, exactly. It's a similar kind of idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah. Was that not in Massachusetts as well?
Can't remember, Cameron.
It bloody was, I think.
I'm not even going to bother doing the research. Sorry.
Well, it's just come up as a question now, isn't it?
Well, you can find out then.
Massachusetts seems to be the place.
But this was like a week ago, remember, wasn't it? But I guess this week period was like the peak of the Mountie's career.
So well, Joe defeated Finn Balor to capture the NXT Championship in a live event Thursday night in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Way! Correct to me.
Answer my question.
The Mountie.
Was his period for him, peak Mountie? Was it as good as it got?
No.
Yes.
No, getting locked in a prison cell after getting beat by the boss man was the peak.
Well, that's not peak for him, is it? That's peak for us.
Well, getting raped off somebody.
I don't know.
That's why they call him the big boss man.
Has no one saw that segment?
Yes, I have.
Oh my God!
You just love the way leather feels against your body.
Let me out of here!
Yeah, I know exactly what it's like. A stereotypical kind of 80s Hollywood movie. Here's a gay guy in a prison cell, blah 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 blah. Which is a bit
We're all singing it.
I mean, to be fair to him. To be fair to him, there's an interview comes up with Sean Mooney and Jimmy Hart and the Mountie, and he talks about how he's not been able to prepare for Piper, and how he wonders, he wants to ask Jack Tunney what's Piper's win-loss record like for him to get a title shot, which I think is brilliant heel work.
Hey, I want to know something, Jack Tunney. What's the win and loss record of Piper? What gives him the right to step in today on 2 days' notice? I should have won this match today by forfeit. But don't worry about it, Piper, because the man that I am, the champion that I am, I'm going to do to you what I did to Bret Hart. I took his pride, his integrity, and the belt away from him. You, I'm going to take your skirt, your manhood, and whatever's left, because the Mountie always gets his man.
You again get Mean Gene Okerlund is with Piper himself, and I can't remember the exact, you'll probably have to insert the actual promo here,
Don't
Phil.
Tell me my job, Cameron. I mean, I will, but don't tell me my job.
Well, I'm telling you just to insert the promo, yeah?
Jesus. Not as good as WrestleMania 8, though. Not as good as that one.
No, I was going to... Because I put down here... I can't remember what it is, but I put down here complete with his homophobic undertones.
Right, do you want to know it?
Well, you know, what we're dealing with is one of the original village people here with his mate, Jimmy Hart, who keeps kissing the belt, leaving all that lipstick on it. I heard the money out here saying, first thing I'm going to do, pounds his chest. I don't know him. He's something. First thing I'm going to do, says, I'm going to take Piper's integrity.
It's like Jacques Cousteau trying to find a dry spot in the ocean. I ain't got no damn integrity. You think I got so far? Second thing I'm gonna do, I'm gonna take Roddy Piper's manhood. I come here to fight. I don't know what you come here to do. I come here to win two titles. I can't do that till I win the first one. I think you've been dreaming.
I think it's been all wet, too.
Look, on that note, let's get back to ringside.
They wouldn't have cut that.
They can know that.
If it's on the network copy, can you put it in there right now?
Wet ones. I'm going to check. My problem... Right, I got a problem with this match. They come down, right?
So you said you were going to have a problem with wet ones there.
Well, you know,
that's later.
You know, they just happen. What can you do about it?
Yeah, true.
So it's Mountie versus Piper with IC belt, and Piper's in the Rumble, but the Mountie isn't, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so, Piper is, yeah, but the Mountie's not.
Monsoon and Heenan, probably more Monsoon, going about like, this is like, oh, the first time ever someone has got the chance to win both titles in the same night.
First time ever in the history of the World Wrestling Federation, an individual referring to Roddy Piper has a chance to win both titles, right? Bob Rod with a lot of things going through his mind, a chance to make history here in the World Wrestling Federation by number one right now, beating for the Intercontinental belt, the Mountie, and then later on, possibly becoming the WWE champion. No one has ever had the chance before to become both title holders on the same day.
But WrestleMania 6?
Yeah, but I think they mean in...
Two separate matches.
Yeah, WrestleMania 6. They say no man's ever been able to win both titles in one night.
No, but that's in one match. That's
Hang on.
Technically, they're not winning the titles because one of them was already a holder.
Yeah, but if Hogan beat Warrior, he was going to win the IC.
He would win the Intercontinental title, but he wouldn't win the world title because he's already the champion.
I still think it's stupid, and I'm going to edit out your negative comments.
You'd only gain in one title. You'd only be gaining one title of WrestleMania 6. You'd be gaining two for the Royal Rumble 92.
What about that terrible Mountie music? Yeah, oh, terrible, isn't it?
No.
Does he not get the? I can't remember now. Does he not get the? Oh, my Mountie.
No,
he always gets his man. It's great.
He's not got the other music.
He's got like other music.
He's got the Canadian music, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who's paying attention to the pipe for you? Jesus Christ. The Piper, though, gets a massive pop on the way out.
Yeah, Piper is absolutely loving this. And there's a bit at the start where he kind of has to duck the shock stick because Mountie's, like, you know, wandering around with it, kind of try to kill him with it. Yeah, Mountie gets a kilt to the face, which is a hell of an achievement. As Piper disrobes his kilt, he flings it across the ring, and it just lands on Mountie's head. It's just great.
I bet he aimed for it as well.
Pretty much.
I bet there was a bump side a bit as well.
Well, that's how you do it, Phil.
Sorry, I'm not Scottish. I've never been taught these things.
Half this podcast knows how to do it. Yeah.
Correct.
Wow. So that's it. It's fairly short, this match.
Mm.
About 5 minutes, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because they were kind of like obviously thinking that Piper's going to be working later on in the evening as well.
Yeah.
And Piper does last in the Rumble a fair amount of time.
I think I put down big brawl, pacey, but not top drawer. It's clear they just wanted to move the title from, you know, Hitman to Piper.
I was going to say it's a functional match.
It's a functional match.
It's probably like, moving the title from Hitman to Piper.
I mean, ends with a sleeper. I mean, name me the amount of matches other than Brutus Bobby Beefcakes that end on a sleeper.
Roddy Piper beat Adrian Adonis at WrestleMania 3.
There you go.
Thank you.
That was his finisher at the time, though.
Yeah, but problem with the sleeper is like it's not like you want a finish to be like a way kind of moment, but a sleeper is just like a
Million Dollar Man did the same thing.
Yeah, but I think it worked better for a heel than just for a face.
So you're saying
choking somebody out?
There's no kind of big crescendo to it. It's not like he, you know, hits him with like a big kind of crazy move.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You're literally kind of ending a match on blah.
Yeah.
Kind of
go, oh, I need to sleep.
Yeah.
Sleeper hold out of nowhere.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, Alan.
It takes like 3 or 4 minutes to actually take effect kind of idea.
Yeah, if you're going to set it right, because like the Million Dollar Dream always felt like more like a choke. Like the way that
DBS with the arm included,
like
as well,
shaking it around and all that, and the other guy could kind of fling his arm around and stuff. But this is just kind of like, oh, he's got a sleeper on, and is he asleep? Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
But, ah,
awesome. I'm trying to look down my notes now.
I think the only other thing I've written down is there's some excellent Monsoon Heenan bickering during the match.
I would assume, and wouldn't surprise me if that little run was instrumental in Damani becoming the champion to begin with.
It doesn't matter.
Just like he is now, getting involved in this match.
What's he doing? He's standing there. He never touched Piper. He never jumped into the ring. He's done nothing wrong, and you're picking
him. Look at him. He's got that megaphone antagonizing everyone.
First Amendment, Monsoon. Freedom of speech.
Yeah.
I mean, with all this on his mind, being able to capture two titles or blow two titles in one day.
He can't blow two titles. He doesn't have any, bro.
Well, then he can't win two titles.
Oh, yes, he can.
Well, maybe he won't. Well, you quit confusing me.
Well, as long as you're sitting here next to me, you don't have any rights.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Thank you.
I think it's a heathen trying to go backstage. Like,
yeah, so, oh, he spends most of the night trying to leave the commentary booth and go and check on Flair.
Could I run back and find
you're
Mr.
not going
Perfect?
Anywhere.
I'd like to find out what number Rick got.
I think it's number one. I'm not sure.
No,
that's
no,
what
don't
I heard.
Say that.
I heard a rumor to that effect.
Hey, how would you like a diet drink or something?
Let me run out and I'll get you something. No,
hot dog, huh? Extra mustard?
No.
Heavy on the onion? Just the way you like it.
I'll have you taken out of here in a second.
Could I run to the
back? I know where you'd go. You'd run right back there and try to find out because you're getting a little paranoid.
I give you my
about
word.
What number Ric Flair has got.
I give you my word I won't go
your
back.
Your word
there.
Isn't any good.
Let me just go get a diet drink for you.
No, I've got I can
popcorn.
Get, I can
Coke,
have something
anything.
Brought right up here.
Is this not because he doesn't know what number Flair's got?
Yeah. He wants to go speak to Flair, so he's constantly trying to get backstage, and Heenan's like, Monster's like, will you sit down?
Will you stop?
Yeah, it's just brilliant, like the whole night. It's just great. But the match, you know, that kind of overshadows the match for the bickering, but, you know.
A little bit, yeah.
Piper got a belt, so you can't complain too much,
can you? Piper pokes the eyes, because he's still got that kind of heelish element of his kind of moveset, Piper, at the moment. He's still this kind of like, crazy, kind of like, just bite and gouge of an
he's kind of like the first in-between at this stage, isn't he? Or like one of the big first in-betweeners or an early in-betweener?
Oh, Hogan used to rake the eyes all the time.
Hogan's a dirty bastard, we all know this.
Yeah, Hogan's a right, we'll get to Hogan later on. Yeah,
dirty bastard.
Being an absolute twunt.
wow.
You leave Mr. Hogan alone, let's keep going.
I won't be leaving Hogan alone at all. The mahogany racist bastard. Anyway, right.
Can I get mahogany racist bastard.
Mahogany racist bastard. That's another one for the t-shirt store. Piper slings the Mountie outside. He skins the cat, though, which is fairly impressive. Gets back in, but ends up walloping Jimmy Hart by mistake. Into the sleeper. Piper wins with the sleeper. Jimmy Hart stands outside in shock with the shock stick, which Piper now has and grabs. And then there is like this moment where the Mountie's lying in the middle of the ring and Piper debates whether to use the shock stick, uses it, and it causes like a really comedy buzzer noise to ring throughout the entire arena.
Hey, yes!
Do the lights kind of flash on and off in the arena? Am I just thinking that in my head?
No, I don't think they do, but I think it does definitely go throughout the entire arena. As if
it's that loud, it's that powerful a shock stick.
Just a bit kind of like, right, okay. I'd like to say we'd gone through like, you know, this is probably an example of really crap special effects in wrestling, which we've totally left behind. But then there was Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton the other night, wasn't there? So anyway.
Oh dear.
This is the next up is like a Coliseum home video exclusive where Hulk Hogan talks to Lord Alfred Hayes.
About a cup of tea or something.
Yeah, and Hulk Hogan, as a result of this, I think has tea on the brain for the whole night.
You know, this is my cup of tea, and you know a lot about tea, my friend, but we're not going to be sipping tea. I'm going to throw all those dudes out, get the WWE title back, and you better get out of here. I'm getting ready.
I got the feeling I better get out now before I'm thrown out. Back to the ringside.
Well, like, I think all I've written down is Alfred Hayes, video exclusive. Hayes is like a plank of wood being moved around the arena.
Yeah, he is a bit, isn't he?
Like he's just parked, and he holds a microphone, and he says words with no kind of emotion.
Yeah, there's no kind of, and here we are. It's like as if
backstage, Hulk like, Hogan. Oh, let me tell you, brother, about this. Thank you, Hulk. It's like, well, come on.
But I always find right with Lord Alfred, when you watch him back, he's like a few feet away from being wrestling's answer to David Attenborough. Because he's just kind of like little English voice going, and here we are in the locker room. here in the Knickerbocker Arena in Albany, New York, and I'm going to interview Hulk Hogan. And it's just like really kind of calm. And I don't know if it's that's kind of
here
like...
Here we see, in the wild, the natural Hulk Hogan drinking beer and squashing the rest of the card.
And injecting steroids.
Injecting steroids into his flaccid penis.
I'm going to now antagonize the brute by fingering his asshole.
That's good. That's nice.
Hey, I said finger, I didn't say fist.
And I won't stand for it. We're taking down one of the secret cows.
Yeah, they start. Hogan goes on about, you know, how Lord Alfred Hayes knows about a cup and knows all about cups of tea, and how the Royal Rumble won't be 29 other guys' cup of tea, and it'll tea. Be him that'll be back as world champion and
drinking a cup
that.
Of tea.
Wank. Anyway. Next up.
Oh God! Right, I need a drink for this one.
Right, can I take this one?
No.
Go on.
Sure. Go for it.
Okay, next up is your 5-star classic.
Fuck you, Alan. Fuck you for making me watch this.
Bushwhackers, this is the Beverly Brothers. Now, the Beverly Brothers have got the genius in the corner, and the Bushwhackers have got the greatest
match. This is the worst
ever.
Match I've ever seen. This is terrible. Jameson. The whole thing is horrific.
So, anyway, it's terrible. The bell goes, and
into the worst match
Butch
ever.
Butch is in the ring, and
who cares?
Against Blake Beverly.
This match can't be canceled.
Don't care.
The lock up.
For 10 minutes. Then, you can stop there, Dash, yeah, because it takes them 10 minutes to get to that point. Because you get the Bushwhackers go to the crowd. Goes, sorry,
let him finish.
This makes me angry. This match makes me angry.
He breaks out a Steiner screwdriver, hits that on Blake Beverly, then goes to the top and hits a 450 splash before tagging in Luke, who then does the shooting star press and then finishes it. Yeah.
No.
This is in some strange parallel 1992, isn't it?
No. What happens is...
So let's move on to the...
When the Bushwhackers were some kind of
next
great,
match.
Grand what happens is, doors. Right, your man Beverly goes in to shake Luke's, whatever, Bushwhacker's hand, and they gurn to the crowd for like 5 minutes, go, oh, should I shake the handshake? How about that side of the arena? What do you think? Oh, how about that side of the arena? Oh, should I shake his hand? Oh, it's like, just fucking get on with it. Even Monsoon says, can we just hurry up? Because this is taking too long.
Has the bell rung to start this match yet?
Yes, the bell is rung.
I get so wound up when these guys come out here.
After an entire solid 5 minutes of stalling, they go straight to the distracted ref spot.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God. I like
then I've just put arse biting.
Like...
And then I put not much wrestling going on here.
No, well, my match didn't happen.
I think you've maybe imagined this.
That's been a fever dream.
I don't know if Butch from the Bushwhackers has ever done a 450 splash. Brilliant.
Maybe drunk off a bar stool or something.
Oh yeah, my 450 splash is when I get it up the wall and back down again. Yeah.
Why didn't they ever have a finishing move, the Bushwhackers, where they put one guy in the corner and then just both ran at him and squashed him and called it the sardine can? Why did they never do that?
I don't get it.
You can write to them.
Like they should. Well, I'm a bit late now, aren't I?
This is a terrible match.
Who the shaft is Jameson, by the way? How long did this last?
I don't know. The thing is, when slapped him, I would have paid him money to do that. This borderline offensive character just eating his tie by ringside.
He's like a really early... Somewhere. He's got like one shoe that's hanging off.
It's like the worst stereotype in the world. It's like proper Vince thinking, oh, this will work, pal. You're like an idiot.
It's just like Eugene... As well, because remember how the rumor is that Eugene was like a piss take of like a fan,
yeah,
and it was like an inside joke, and there was like this fan with who was had disabilities who kept hanging around outside a certain arena in America, and everyone kind of went, oh, there's him again, blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. So they invented the Eugene character as a kind of a piss take of him for the boys in the back, because obviously people on screen would never know. Was Jameson not a similar idea?
I've got a clue. I think the guy was a comedian or something. But like this whole thing kills the crowd dead. Like it just kills the atmosphere dead.
It goes on forever.
And the worst thing is, like, Monsoon busts out what's he say at one point? An external occipital protuberance. He uses that in this match.
Boy, that one comes right down on the back of your neck. Right on an external occipital protuberance.
A what? Say the back of the neck. Keep it simple just for the humanoids.
Where does he grace that sentence to this match?
I have absolutely no idea.
Made me sick. And at the end, like, Jameson comes in and he's like, oh, is he going to hit him? Is he not? I don't fucking care. Just hit him.
Get on with it.
Just get it done with so we can move on.
This ends with the Beverly Brothers double team axe handle. And then Luke is pinned, and that's it. It's a really kind of damp squib of an ending as well, because you're expecting it's like, or at least the Bushwhackers are going to defeat the Beverly Brothers. It's going to be like, you know, retribution and all this kind of stuff. And no, the Beverly Brothers win.
it's just a complete waste of the Beverly's capes, because they got cracking capes. Give them their due.
And the poetry's amazing.
Ladies
and gentlemen, at this time, the genius has a poem for us all.
This is an educating experience. You might learn something.
Needs a haircut. Rejoice in all the splendor of the brothers Beverly as they fulfill my genius master plan. And I, the genius, must defile that waste of human tissue, that Jameson who calls himself a man.
You've got mullets on display. Like, the Beverlys are, you know, they're too good for this match. And they're not a great gimmick, you know.
Yeah. The best bit about this, though, as well, is when they get to the end of the match, there's a bit where the Bushwhackers hold the genius and Jameson takes about half an hour to wind up a punch.
Like, just Jesus but Christ. Then
the Beverly Brothers themselves do nothing. Right. They just walk away as their manager.
Like, oh, we just can't be bothered anymore. Just can't be bothered.
And it's just weird.
I'll have you know the Bushwhackers had to give up their chance to winning the world title to end this match. I mean, we both know Butch would have walked out that with the championship belt, don't we?
Can we mute his microphone for a bit, please? Just no.
No, he's here now.
Please. It's terrible. It's terrible. I feel sorry for young Cameron now to watch this as his, second wrestling match, third wrestling match ever?
This would have been my third wrestling match, but I was still impressed.
How?
I know, but I didn't have anything to compare it to, did I?
I can't complain. Like, this photo's me wearing a Bushwhackers t-shirt. I was sucked in when I was a kid.
Yeah, because they were just, you don't really care. You don't, I think.
You like doing the dance and the music's kind of funky.
When you're like, and I think this is part of the thing with aiming it at kids now and doing the whole PG thing, where you don't critique. I mean, looking back at this and being 36 years old, you kind of go, well, that technique's rubbish and that match is rubbish and they can't do this move and they can't do that. You don't really give a blood. It's the reason why the Ultimate Warrior was so over.
Yeah.
Couldn't really wrestle.
Oh, we're dissing all my bloody wrestlers tonight, aren't we?
Calm yourself down.
But it's like, it's like them and the Warrior that, you know, the adult fans don't like, well, probably didn't like at the time, but that's why we're talking about it 30 odd years later.
Yeah. I still think if a character like the Warrior had come into it like in the last 5 years, he'd have been booed completely relentlessly.
You mean Ryback?
Well, it's like, you know, when they brought in Kurt Angle, he was, you know, the textbook kind of late 80s face character, American, good, clean cut athlete. He was booed out of the arena, wasn't he? And they played into it magnificently so.
I love the fact also, by the way, the other night when he was announced as Raw GM, they still chanted, "You suck."
They did it on his bloody Hall of Fame when he came out for that, didn't they?
Yeah, he's still just kind of like...
Comes out for his Hall of Fame moment, crowd's chanting, "You suck." It's like, yes.
I think it's just...
yes, wrestling.
He grins his way through it now, because I think he just knows it's meant affectionately.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah.
This match is terrible. There's some good Heenan banter waiting in it. Like, there's a trip that he doesn't see because he was looking somewhere else or something. That's great.
From the outside out. But his knee give out? What happened? He pulled his leg from outside the ring.
No big deal.
You didn't see that?
Just the Bushwhackers.
Yeah.
The match itself, oh, Jesus Christ.
Is awful and there's nothing.
Move along.
Well.
No, Alan, we're moving on.
Okay.
We're moving on.
Now on to four large bastards.
Again, I've got a problem with this. It's Mean Gene and the Legion of Doom in a promo. I've got a problem with this promo.
Well, but it's typical LOD shouty.
It's not, because at no point does anybody say, tell him, Hawk! Tell him, Animal! Nobody says that once.
No,
come on, you're doing a promo, you're Hawk, Legion of Doom, you say, tell him, next
but
person.
But Hawk does utter the rather strange phrase of, what makes us sick apart from everything?
Well, Mean Gene, you know what makes us sick besides everything? Typhoon and earthquake, they make us real sick.
Cocaine, that's the answer.
Well, yes, true. Cocaine and various painkillers.
Yes.
Bless him.
Bless him.
So, yeah, I was a bit, I say, when I'm doing my pay-per-view rundown for the 90s ones.
Check out the website, it's all been reformatted.
Check out the website, it's all been, apart from we've lost one, but never mind.
Yeah.
And
Cameron Katz for WrestleMania, move along.
Shut up. I noticed that even the late 90s LOD, there's a certain bloody, and it probably going back to the same point again, when you're a kid, you don't care, you don't pick up on it. But as an adult, you can look back at LOD's matches and think, they're pretty much taking every single shortcut and not being fucking arsed.
But they had shoulder pads with spikes on them, man. I mean, Jesus.
They did, yeah, they were totally cool. At SummerSlam 92 with the bike entrance.
Gold ones, even with the flipping ventriloquist dummy, it was still cool.
Well, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. Earthquake and Typhoon come down. And I'm guessing, I've written down here at the start of the match going, guessing we ain't seen a Doomsday Device tonight.
I don't know if I've seen one, just to see if the ring would just explode.
Just imagine Typhoon getting hurt.
I think Hawk would be drunk enough to try it, though, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I would say
He's not got to take the strain of it. He's all right. He can do a top rope clothesline, that's fine. It's Animals that's got to do all the...
Go on, try it, you bastard. Get him up there, we can do it.
Can you imagine, if you were Hawk and you wanted to be a real bastard, you would just go for it, wouldn't you? And go, give me the device, come on. Jesus Christ.
We're all
but it's a good start though. I mean, like Hawk's like all up in their grill and just like being all kind of because Legion of Doom, not Legion of Doom, the Natural Disasters, they're big bastards, big beefy bastards.
Yeah.
But so at LOD to an extent, so they can kind of physically stand next to him as like you can look at him and go, oh yeah, there's a contest here. Because like I think quite a few other the tag teams, you know, the Natural Disasters should just walk over them.
Yeah.
Just size wise, you know, just on the sheer visual spectacle, there's nothing no one else really compares to them. But LOD, they're kind of the same height. They've got muscles. They've got the kind of, you know, it doesn't look completely daft as a competition between the two of them.
No, I know what you mean. You've got like, well, LOD have kind of like regarded as like the machine that just won't stop for anyone.
Yeah. They're big beefy bastards.
Yeah. Regardless of the Natural Disasters being as big as they damn well are. Yeah.
The machine that won't sell for anybody, yes.
Well, that was the other thing, yeah. That won't sell and won't job for anyone either.
Yeah.
That was...
And it's just after that, it's just like big bits of beef just hitting each other.
Pretty much, yeah. It's basically slamming slabs of meat against each other, yeah.
For like 10 minutes and call it a tag team match.
Yep. Although, I will put out here, there's a whole sort of start of the match where it's difficult. It's Typhoon and Hawk start. But the story is that Typhoon can't get knocked off his feet and Hawk can't knock him off his feet. Hawk runs into Typhoon a couple of times, but no movement on either part. The top rope clothesline finally knocks Typhoon off his feet. Earthquake's in. Hawk does a dropkick, does nothing. But then Earthquake pulls out the dropkick. Now, it misses completely, and Hawk kind of swats it away, but still, Earthquake pulls out a dropkick in this match. I think we need to take a moment, gentlemen, to
just
acknowledge that gutsy move.
Should I just cut the sound effect of him slamming it back into the canvas?
Yeah, he's literally just push, like that. So, yeah.
But when you see a guy that big do a move like that, it is kind of bonkers. Like, do you see, there was a video recently of Braun Strowman doing a kip-up from the floor. Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah, he's in there with someone, and they got him, like, in an armbar on the floor, and he does, like, a proper Shawn Michaels nip-up onto his feet.
Look at Strowman rolling through, trying to get out of this wrist lock by Big Show, and
wow,
locked by Strowman!
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
That's just scary.
What an athlete!
So, you know, well done, Brown Strongman.
Yeah. Brown Strongman. Dear God. yeah, this match is the archetypal horse battle, isn't it?
But I'm sure it'll have a good finish, though.
Yeah, well, they must have been going for more on this.
Didn't the LOD leave the company in fairly, you know, like, because they came back at 8 for that By the Ring promo, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I think between here and then, were there some shenanigans about them and they quit or they left or they fired?
Hawk got suspended.
That was it.
All right.
I imagine there would have been, but it got kind of derailed by the Hawkster.
Indeed.
Which probably says summarizes the LOD WWE run. Like, it was kind of stop-start, and there was never really that much continuity to it. It never really kind of got that much momentum. Other than the fact it was LOD, and they were like a big name tag team and all that.
I think maybe, though, by the time LOD were getting a good run, their style had kind of aged badly.
Mm. Yeah.
I think. In the late 90s, when they were back as a team, they feel like a complete hark back to like 10 years previous.
Yeah. They slowly turn into the Towers of Pain, don't they, over a period of years.
Yeah, pretty much. And giving them Sonny wasn't going to change any of that.
No.
To be honest, really. Yeah, the Natural Disasters win by DQ. So they were obviously trying to plan something for WrestleMania 8 on this one.
Yeah.
This is obviously going to be... They wanted a return match, which obviously didn't happen.
It's a count-out, isn't it? It's a count-out finish.
Yeah. Yes, totally. It's a count-out.
Chair shots and all sorts going on, isn't there?
They'll leave them outside the ring, yes.
I was getting confused because I was about to put on here LOD attack with steel chairs.
Well, that's at the end when the Natural Disasters steal the titles.
Yeah, exactly.
They're naughty boys.
Yep. Then you get, after the end of the match, you get Sean Mooney in the back with the Natural Disasters, who are furious, it's fair to say.
I put lots of shouting.
Lots of very gruff earthquake,
stop shouting like this. Why did those lose when you come back the next time? I got our hands on you. You can't even sound what Tugboat was saying either.
Jack, you don't see our attorneys. We're not put up with this stuff. We kicked their butts. And look what happens. They pull it away from us. It ain't gonna happen.
Tubbos. Boom, boom. What?
I forgot you were on top of it. It was just like toot.
Toot. What's that? I can't tug to stop. So damn it.
Mean Gene Oakland is with Intercontinental Champion Red Roddy Piper.
But doesn't Piper dedicate this promo to his son at some point? He sneaks in Colt's name.
Just about to say, he dedicates it to Colt, his son.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite a nice touch. I never noticed that before. Then you get one of the best bits of the build-up to the actual Rumble itself.
Oh, into the promos.
Is the promos from everyone. They vary slightly in quality.
That's fair to say, isn't it?
But it's really good. Shawn Mooney's in the locker room. Shawn Michaels, who is an underdog for this. Yeah. You're thinking, geez, we're well into the early 90s because Shawn Michaels has been described as an underdog.
This is literally like weeks after his heel turn, isn't it?
Yeah,
he's not even the heartbreak kid, is he?
As we'll come to later, his finishing move is still the teardrop suplex.
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. It's weird, man.
Because there's a really eerie bit in the 92 Royal Rumble that, in retrospect, is quite important. And I'd never noticed it before because I never considered what came after. But I'll go through that in a bit.
That's building up there. That's building up stuff, that is.
There's like, hey, Jannetty, I've saved you 29 other beatings, which is what was quite cool.
Yeah.
Not as bad as the one I'm going to give you, but no, that's 29 other beatings.
Well, exactly. Not as bad as being flung through. And is it not true that that ended up being a real window?
Probably.
No, I think that's an urban myth.
Is that an urban myth? Yeah,
I think so.
There's a whole Jannetty thing about
Cameron,
how we said...
Cameron, it's still real to me.
Still real to me, damn it.
Jannetty should have been at WrestleMania 8, but he gets fired not long after this.
Drunken Jannetty.
So Hawk's getting fired and... Hawk and Jannetty's getting fired.
Yeah. And Jim Neville Nidod, all the usual suspects.
Are they... is this about... When was the steroid scandal? Are they starting to clamp down on that now?
No, I don't think that's...
Would it be after WrestleMania 8 when Hogan kind of disappeared off TV for a little while?
Yeah.
Yeah, but nothing new to the trial.
I thought that's why they kind of took him off, because he was in
court.
No,
Hogan wouldn't be involved in that sort of thing.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Another Lord Alfred Hayes, Plank of Wood, talks to Flair, gives away his number. Thanks for that, Hayes.
I don't think that... I don't think that was on the original broadcast.
That's a Coliseum video.
No, I was going to say it seems to be because Heenan later on goes, "Oh, we don't know what number of Flair gone." Heenan, you know, because I was watching the Rumble, kind of going, "Surely, did we know at the time that he'd drawn three?" Because it's no, you know, so obviously it's no surprise when you watch it on the network. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that this bit isn't shown in the original broadcast.
Right, I've got like a little rundown of the other promo. Shall I just run through it really quick?
Yeah, sure.
We got Savage, usual style, good though.
Yes.
Sid Justice, teeth glued together.
Yeah, it's quiet. Really, really quiet.
Truth, the man who rules the world. Repo Man, what is he even doing there talking?
I just put Repo Man, why?
Yeah, Bulldog, fair play, promos are dull.
No, whoa. Should we just take a moment with Bulldogs, by the way?
Why?
Well, here's the thing. Bulldog says, you know, I've got experience in battle royals like the Royal Rumble because at the Albert Hall, he says, at the Albert Hall in London, my hometown.
The last time the British Bulldog was in a match like this was in the Royal Albert Hall in London, England, my hometown.
Albert Hall, London, my hometown. No.
My hometown.
Stop it. Jake the Snake, excellent as always.
Yes.
Flair and Perfect.
Savage. Amazing. Flair and Perfect, there's no back door. The Undertaker pretty much says bugger all. But
living the gimmick.
And then Hogan, who's a bit more animated than before, for some reason, starts banging on about cups of tea again.
Yeah.
But Hulkamaniacs, this is our cup of tea. But this is our cup of tea.
He's obviously just got that locked in his head from speaking to Lord Alfred Hayes.
Yeah, but the cup of tea line lives through the ages. Have you seen the new Enzo and Big Kaz t-shirt? It's got a cup of tea on it.
Really?
It says cup of haters.
Nice.
There's a couple of haters in here, hey, because we're from New Jersey. Cup of haters. It's got like a cup of haters written on it. Like cuppa, like how English say cuppa.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Cup of tea, you know, it's a through line through history for promos. Cream rises to the crop, you have cream and tea. That's what Macho Man said, remember? Dropping the little packets of cream during a promo. Mean G, the cream rises to the top. Oh, yeah. Remember?
Love that promo.
Good promo, isn't it? That's it. We're into the Rumble now.
Yep, Jack Tunney appears and gets booed and stumbles over his lines.
Stumbling Jack Tunney, that's what I wrote down.
It's obvious that Brain really wants him to leave the ring now.
Yeah.
The winner of this event will not only have the prestige of beating 29 other men, but will also be declared the undisputed World Wrestling Federation champion.
Come on, let's go.
I would like to say in closing, may the best man win.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Been the best present since Noriega. Will you be, sir?
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you're assuming Jack's drunk because he was an alcoholic, wasn't he?
Sorry?
Jack Tunney. I'm assuming he was drunk because I'm pretty sure he was like an alcoholic. Had some problems that way. I'm pretty sure.
Do we have anything to back up that allegation before the Conquistador's legal team has to mobilise?
I know he had gambling problems, but I wasn't sure he was an alcoholic.
Wait, have we got a legal team now, have we?
Yes.
Is that so we can sell the potential Benoit t-shirts?
No.
No.
Not at all.
I'm sure it was a...
Anyway.
Controversy.
Whatever. I don't know if Jack Tunney was purposely that boring and dull just to kind of like provide a bit of contrast.
As a heel thing.
Like the pomp and the kind of like theatre and the drama of the actual kind of, you know, out here superstars that they had in the wrestling at the time. I don't know. Anyway, maybe he was like a total party animal.
No, it's Gambit Debt, so I am right. You are right, Alan. Don't apologize.
The Conquistadors podcast would like to firmly announce that at no point do we ever suggest that Jack Tunney was an alcoholic or a gambling addict. Thank you. Onwards with your enjoyment of this podcast.
Right, number one. He's out first. I've got them all written down. Number one.
British Bulldog. British Bulldog.
Okay, can I try and guess them all? Because I have.
Oh, go on then. I'll do this in memory. Okay. All right. Okay.
Who's number two?
We know number one's a bulldog.
Right. Yeah. Number two.
That would be Ted DiBiase.
Correct.
Yes. Who is with Sherry?
How about that?
Who looks utterly phenomenal.
And there's a nice callback to them saying about why he hasn't bought a high number.
Bobby the Brain does, when the camera's on Sensational Sherry and Ted DiBiase, go, boy, look at them. And the assumption is obviously he means the pair together of these two people, but I think he might mean something else.
He suggests he's talking about her tits.
How crass of you.
Sorry. How dare I suggest a broadcast journalist of such prestige as Bobby the Brain Heenan would do such a thing? I mean, Jerry Lawler would. Jerry Lawler would. Let's make no bones about it. He'd be upfront about it, wouldn't he?
Mention is made pretty straight away as soon as the match starts that 53 minutes and 14 seconds is the current record for a consecutive time.
They're not messing around with that, are they? They really kind of they push that an awful lot.
It's really good though because it makes.
I don't remember that like being mentioned. Like the kind of big rumble I remember is the 190, I think, with Hulk Hogan one throwing out Mr. Perfect.
Yes,
90. Yeah.
90. But they obviously. That was really the second or third one, so they never really mentioned any time things there. But like I say, it gives it a bit more weight. Like, you know,
the match has been going like, what, they've had three or four by now, so you can start to hark back to the other one.
It was good.
Number three, Al, is obvious.
Wait, we forgot Ted going out. Ted gets chucked out straight away.
Oh, yeah, he does, doesn't he? Yeah.
Bye-bye, Ted.
To be honest, it doesn't last long at all.
Because this leads into something I quite like about what they do in the Modern Rumbles, because number three's been ruined, so I'm going to ignore you, Al. But as Flair's coming out, Ted's walking past him out back out to the back of the to the backstage.
Yeah.
But do you notice at this Rumble when they get eliminated, they were going out via the timekeepers corner.
I didn't notice that. No.
Yeah, it was when Cesaro and Sheamus got themselves eliminated. They were going out through that corner. So when the next person came in, you don't have that awkward moment of the person leaving as the other person's coming out.
It's kind of cool sometimes though, because you can kind of have little sort of face-offs.
But shifting them out that way kind of eliminates that problem of like you have someone calls out and you got someone scuttling around in the background just trying to think, right, where's the bar?
True. So number three is Flair, as we know, as we've already discussed.
Heenan is silent in disgust.
Well, Monsoon says, I think you can kiss it goodbye, Brain.
Yeah.
Now, my point is, right, usually, and I'm trying to work out what made this good, because usually when the Rumble is focused around one person, it tends to be not so hot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The best Rumbles are the ones where at least six or seven could legit win it.
You mean like the Stone Cold Rumbles where it's like it's all just kind of what's...
Well, 99 is him and Vince and that's it.
Yeah.
Really. So it's not...
98 is Stone Cold. So do you mean 2001?
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago when it was... like Roman Reigns defending the world title in the Rumble match itself, it was pretty much all about Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
So therefore,
AJ walked in, then was all about his hair.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about Roman Reigns.
No, not really. But it's his yard now. Ooh. Anyway, Bulldog shoves Flair. Bulldog has him up for a slam, but doesn't dump him out. He does. Bulldog
he's an
does
idiot.
A gorilla. Does Bulldog's a gorilla press slam and does not walk to the ropes and just dump him out. He just drops him.
Well, he's old. He's worried he might break his hip and then he'll pull off and have to
pay. Oh, he can break his hip on the arena floor when he's eliminated.
And I think I'd be right in saying that like the Ric Flair we've got here, he's probably just past his physical peak. But as a wrestler, he's pretty much at the peak of his game. Like psychology wise, mechanic wise.
Like, but then he keeps on wrestling for another 20 years or something.
Yeah, that's the bad thing. But where he is right now, this little period, it's like character-wise, mechanic-wise, technique-wise.
You could argue that his physical prowess has gone down.
Yeah, compared to like, the mid... Like his run of matches with Steamboat is probably him at like his physical peak, but this is like him at his wrestling peak.
Yeah.
Where it's like he's just clearly head and shoulders above most people on this card.
Number four, Al?
Number four would be Jerry Sags.
Yes. I've put down here, does Jimmy Hart manage everyone?
Yeah, because all the other managers are gone, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Slicky's gone, Heenan's a broadcast journalist now.
True, yeah, they're kind of winding down the manager thing. But the best thing about the rules of the Rumble, and I don't know if they've done this since, is that managers aren't allowed ringside.
I hated that. I don't know, because like,
see, no, it was good because it means that, you know, it's
no,
it's
going back to Mighty Rumble. Again, you had Virgil trying to push DiBiase back into the ring and stuff.
Yeah, but it gives the heels another rule to break, doesn't it? You know, if you just got like, you know, or anyone can hang around the outside, then that's fine. But you know, as long as you, it gives it structure. It's good. Bulldogs kept busy. The heels team up. So Bulldog seems knackered already.
His hair's coming loose. That's his power, isn't it?
Yeah, his hair's
the coming dreadlocks loose. Dreadlocks is his power. As soon as they start coming loose, they're off.
And then eventually Bulldog eliminates Sag. So Bulldog is coming on quite strong in this for going to the Rumble. Number five, Al.
Haku?
Yes.
Without the King Haku tights, though. I miss those tights. They were good tights.
He's the substitute for Marty Jannetty.
Oh, is he? Well, I have to see that start, don't I? Yeah. Haku then jumps the Bulldog. Heenan's going absolutely mental because obviously Haku is ex-member of the Heenan family.
Yeah, is Haku a face at this point or not?
Take it easy, Rick. Look, you're not going to hurt him doing that to his head. Take a breather.
I think
he's a heel, but he's been in Japan for Lord. You haven't seen him on telly for about 6 months.
Not sure. But he was good. He was on the recent Jericho podcast. He was quite good.
Oh, I like Haku.
He tells some good stories, and I was telling Ethan about like all the stories about Haku like biting on people's noses in bar fights.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, he didn't. I was like, yeah, read the stories. Kevin Sullivan said he did, so it must be true.
Must be true.
Must be true.
Flair runs like hell when Haku starts chopping him.
Because he knows. You don't mess with Haku.
And then Haku does a pile driver at a Bulldog.
It's a nasty looking pile driver of mine, isn't it?
It's a nasty looking pile driver.
I'm just going to interrupt. There's a fantastic picture. It was on, it's stuck in my head since I was a kid. It was in the magazine for the review of the Rumble.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's got wrestlers like that. It uses that image of Haku pile driving the Bulldog, but they put a concrete street underneath.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not really sure why, but yeah.
That's what that pile driver was like. Probably taking that, I would have thought, the way it was.
Probably, it was quite stiff. There's Haku gets eliminated pretty sharpish after that, though. And number six, Al.
Oh God, I must admit, I'm getting a bit ropey here, but I'm going to go Shawn Michaels.
It is.
Oh,
Shawn Michaels.
Nailed it.
Two massive boos. Massive booing. And then, as soon as he gets to the ring, this was the bit I was going to talk about, just quick. There's a moment where Gorilla Monsoon describes it as a crescent kick, but Shawn goes out of one corner and crescent kicks Ric Flair.
Crescent kick! Look at Michaels, he's going after everybody.
There it is. Sweet to music.
Well, yeah, when you're thinking about it, kind of going, how that moment will be replayed in years from now, and will be, you know, the pinnacle.
I'm sorry, I love you. Bang.
Okay, I'm sorry, man, I love you.
Flair wants to fight. Oh! My God, what a shot! Michaels with a B! Yes! Yes!
Here is your winner, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn!
You know, kind of thing.
Does he say that in the Rumble as well?
He doesn't actually say that in the Rumble. Oh. No, he doesn't.
I think also there's one point. I think he goes for the Flair corner spot, but he doesn't do it because like Flair's in the ring, so that'll probably be a little bit rude.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. Number seven.
Right, I'm definitely clutching the ear.
All right.
It's a face, isn't it?
It is a face.
Yep. Yep.
I've got two. Is it Tito?
Oh, yes. You nailed it.
Arriba!
In this little bit here, there is probably one of my favourite parts of the Rumble where Flair does a low blow on Bulldog.
Did you see that? Talk about desperation.
You know what's at stake? A man will do anything.
Pulling out all the stops. Ric Flair doing whatever necessary to hang in there.
I'd do that to my grandmother if I had to.
I'm sure you would.
I'd do that to my own grandmother if I had to. It's like, yes, yes, Bobby, yes.
There's also a cool bit where I don't know who it is that punches Sean really hard, but Sean spins around, like does a total 180 and spends a good 10 seconds walking across the ring just punching thin air. Selling basically being totally knocked stupid.
How good is Shawn Michaels? Even at this stage, it's like...
Even at this stage, yeah. You're right, just drawn to him, isn't it? You could so see why he was chosen out of the two of them to, you know, fucking go for
that, and he wasn't a drunk. Well,
not, yeah, exactly.
Well, he could control the drunkenness, shall we say.
He could probably hide it. Number eight, Al?
Right, well, definitely, I think we look going to run out. Is it heel or a face?
Heel.
Yeah.
Barbarian?
Yes.
Fucking hell. And at this Preston Savant, this is ridiculous.
At this moment, Bobby the Brain is starting to have some kind of seizure.
They don't get any smaller, they just get bigger, they just get tougher. Barbarian doesn't like Flair. Barbarian doesn't like anybody. When I managed him, he barely liked me.
And we're starting to, having had this sort of early part of the Rumble have been Bulldog just basically eliminating people and Flair staying in, we're starting to build up the field. It's starting to get into one of those kind of like packed ring ones.
Yeah.
Number nine, Al.
Heel or face?
Face.
Face.
Tornado?
Yes.
Now, Flair versus Von Erich, that must have happened a few times, wasn't it?
Yeah, it must have done in the NWA.
Must have
happened a few times, wasn't it? So it's kind of interesting seeing those two together in the WWF ring, even though it's in a Rumble match.
Yeah. They never really did much with the Texas Tornado, though, did they?
Oh, again, was he one? He was kind of... They couldn't rely on him?
He won the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, but it's...
That was it, really.
All the way through this match, you're kind of looking at him going, at first glance, he's a bit warrior-like, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think he goes in about the summer. He's gone in the summer.
Is he gone in the summer?
Is it because he's a Southern guy? They just weren't comfortable pushing him, or he just couldn't connect with the WWE fans.
Well, I think he would be synonymous with one territory, wouldn't he? Really, with the Von Erichs.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was part of the problem.
Yeah,
he was. You know, but anyway,
I think talk about Michaels. He sells a Von Erich punch by just spinning through the air after he gets punched.
Yes, I'll put that. Yeah,
it literally spins through the air.
Number 10, Al.
Oh, there's another good Bobby line.
Hey, the best way to win this, you come to the ring and you carry a wrench. A big crescent wrench.
Just like line after line, he's just slamming him out the park, Bobby Heenan. He's just like a machine tonight. Just like, oh, love him.
I know there's two jobberific stars coming up.
Yes.
Who would be the most jobberish jobby star at the moment?
Is it a payday?
No.
The opposite, in fact.
Heel or face?
Heel.
Heel.
Can I give a clue?
Is it the Root Ball Man?
Yes.
Yay! Who comes out to no reaction and basically creeps towards the ring looking like a sex pack.
He's sneaky, isn't he? Yeah. He's sneaky as hell.
Yeah. Pretty much.
He doesn't get booed, he doesn't get cheered, he just gets nothing. He just gets ambient noise.
He sneaks out so sneakily.
Number 11, Al.
See, I know them, but I just don't know the order. I know like the next four, but I don't know if I've got the right order. Heel or face?
Technically, he's a face, isn't he? Heel, sorry.
I think he's be a heel.
Yeah.
Is this the payday?
No.
Hulk off then.
No.
No, not you won ahead yourself. You won ahead.
Who was it?
Greg Valentine.
Oh, I knew he was. I thought he was two after.
But he comes out with a decent pop, though, mind, doesn't he?
We're going to have another participant coming through right now, and it is the Hammer Valentine.
Yeah,
I don't know
not
if
bad.
It's like he's in like a hometown or something, or somewhere he's been before, but he comes out with a decent sized pop. And they mentioned again in the last Rumble, he lasted 44 minutes, of all things.
Oh yeah, they do mention his sort of record of the last time. It's also Monsoon really, really trying to slam it home to Bobby the Brain that Flair ain't winning this.
He's just so exasperated. It's just fantastic. He's like, just the tone of his voice, man.
Why don't you just forget about it, Brain? I told you, no one ever has drawn at numbers 1 through 5 and been the heel at the end. Shut up!
12 is Nikolai Volkov, as we already said.
Up to no pop whatsoever.
A Russian.
But
with an American flag on his trunk?
He lasts like nothing, does he? He's barely in there a minute.
Oh, yeah, 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 he goes. Yeah. I put down here three people eliminated, and then Nikolai goes.
You know who eliminates Volkoy? Nikolai?
I can't remember.
Repo Man.
Oh, jeez.
Eliminated by Repo Man. What? And also, Monsoon says about Volkov, it'll be good because things are pretty rough over there now for those Russians.
Yeah.
Thanks, Monsoon. And then Greg Hammer puts a figure four on Flair in the middle of the Rumble.
Which is...
makes sense.
Slightly logical, yeah. Doesn't make sense.
Maybe he's trying to like build like a match where it's like figure four versus figure four or something.
It would be the most logical thing they could go for.
Yeah, clearly.
If Greg the Hammer was
up on the card.
Was anywhere near the top of that card.
Had any kind of stroke whatsoever. Yeah, it's a good idea, but no, Greg. It's not happening.
But it's not going to happen. Maybe on an episode of Superstars, if like they didn't wrestle jobbers all the time at this kind of moment. Yeah. It's a shame Monday Night Raw didn't start a year earlier, isn't it?
It was about 3 weeks in a row.
Well, exactly. 13-0?
That was Hercules, no?
No!
No. You're one too early.
How many?
You're one too early. Hercules, heel 14.
Heel of face.
Face.
It's the boss man.
It is. Right. He hits that ring like a rocket, doesn't he? Flying out.
He does hit that ring. And the shirt's already sweaty and it's already open.
And you can tell he's gone by that point. You can tell that.
Yep. I'll put here, Hammer's gone, Repo goes after Boss Man, Repo gets eliminated. Bit of a clear out period now. Yeah,
Hammer eliminated, Repo gets two eliminations in this match. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand it. Flair then eliminates Bulldog, so one of the longest lasting guys so far has gone. Tornado gets eliminated, and Sean and Tito kind of eliminate each other by kind of falling off the apron.
They just kind of
together.
Just fall over the thing, don't they?
Yeah, pretty much. 14-0, as you know.
Drop a lead.
Yes.
It's nice to see that Hercules has kind of eliminated the whole small trunk issue by wearing long trousers.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
That sorts out that ongoing discussion we've had over the last few podcasts of having ridiculously small trunks.
He does need bigger trunks, yeah.
And that's where he's wearing tights. Full-length tights. Problem solved. No issues with him at all now.
Yep.
This would be his final pay-per-view for the WWF.
Would it? Was this the end of the line?
It is.
Oh.
Flair is hauled over the top rope by the Barbarian, but Hercules kind of dumps the Barbarian out instead. Just Bossman and Flair after Hercules goes, because Hercules goes fairly quickly.
And then you've got a bizarre elimination.
I'd have put here, Flair ducks out of the way of Bossman, who has the most awkward self-elimination ever.
He hits him wrong, and doesn't hit him like high enough. He's kind of like, I've got to do a little jump now. That is not going to look awkward.
Yeah, but it's kind of like Bossman just kind of wobbles out the rumble, really. Yeah, doesn't do much at all. Flair is alone until 15.
Piper.
Yay!
Huge pop from the crowd.
Absolutely bloody unloads.
There's
a sleeper hold outside.
There's a great bit where Piper, he counters a Ric Flair atomic drop by poking him in the eye.
Yeah.
This comedy fashion, just like one in the eye. There you go, Flair.
16 is...
Is it Jake Roberts?
Yes. Yeah. Who just sits and watches.
Love it. Proper heel Jake, isn't it?
This is coming up with one of Heenan's best commentary lines.
Is this the debate between is it a skirt or is it a kilt?
Almost a DDT! I never thought I'd say this, but thank you, Roddy. It's a kilt. It's not a skirt. It's a kilt. Oh, it's a figure four by Ric Flair on Jake the Snake. And look at Roddy. He's giving it to both of them. Well, you no good creep. You skirt wearing freak. Kill,
turns it around in a second. It's like, oh, Bobby Heenan, man.
I think it's probably the most. Jake Roberts attacks Flair and short arm clotheslines him. He's about to go for the DDT.
Rainmakers him, thank you very much.
But then Piper breaks up. Piper breaks up the DDT.
What a bastard.
Yeah. What a bastard. Anyway, 17-0.
Is it Savage?
No.
Nope. You're way early to Savage.
I'll give you a clue, Al, okay?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's
the Conquistador spirit animal.
Yes.
Because him and Piper look like they're wearing the same clothes. So I kept getting them mixed up.
They do. Yeah. They look like a really bad tag team.
And it's like he comes down the 2x4. He just kind of drops it, just like an idiot, on the way down to the ring, and immediately starts a USA chant.
Pete, can I just say something here?
Go on, Ewan.
I do not agree with the fact that this idiot is our spirit animal. Thank you. Tough.
Sorry, all that. We had a meeting.
Who else could it be?
Anyone else but him?
He's on the cover art. That's just how it goes.
The Bushwhackers.
No.
Sure, why not?
Vetoed. I'm not redoing the cover art again. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it.
Right. 19 now.
I feel
no, sorry, sorry, sorry. Whoa. 18. Sorry. 18.
I feel my powers are failing me now.
Well, you're just failing the podcast then.
Well, maybe if your powers are failing, you should go and do your taxes.
Oh, this man. This man.
Is it IRS?
Yes.
Now, I'd just like to point out, by the way, when me and Al are in work, we need to use safety ties that are just clip-on ones. We can't use round-the-neck ones in case the ties go in the machines and suck it and suck us in.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there's many a day I try and put that tie in the machine on purpose. But
We have tried before. But I would argue that that's what IRS needs, because the first thing anyone does, in this case Hacksaw, is just grab the tie and start punching him.
And you'd have thought, like, I mean, yeah, he can get it trapped in certain machinery, but he could still, like, choke to death on the tie in a ring, couldn't he?
There's a certain health and safety aspect to him, yeah.
You just thought, but then it's wrestling, so who cares?
Pretty much. 19.
Like, retroactively, it's a really awkward person to be in the ring.
It's not Benoit.
That kind of level, though, isn't it?
But it's probably second.
Is it Jimmy Snuka?
Yeah.
Yes.
Rest in peace and all that. Yeah, whatever.
He still gets mentioned on everything on WWE and stuff. It's like they're just forgetting.
Well, they're still calling him the Phenom here as well.
Oh, what was it? Something recently with Snuka that, like, it's just like, you know, like it's normal that it's a great moment and all the rest of it.
Was it like when he was wrestling Jericho in that WrestleMania match or something?
Well, and Jericho put him in the Walls of Jericho, and if Jericho could have stepped away and he would have stayed there.
Number 20.
Undertaker.
There we go.
Who eliminates Snuka straight away.
Yeah, once again, proving who the real Phenom is.
Yep.
And I think he would win the title of
Roman Reigns.
He'd win the title of the Phenom at WrestleMania 8, wouldn't he, I think? No, 7?
7.
Yeah, that's when he won the title of the Phenom, so he had to remind him who actually is the Phenom now.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then Brock Lesnar beat Taker for it, so I think Taker's now, Lesnar's now the Phenom. I'm not sure where that title is anymore.
I don't think this is how it works.
Yes, it is, because they call Super the Phenom, and then they call the Undertaker, so he beats him for the title. That's how it works. It's wrestling, Cameron, come on.
Oh, Jesus. Taker gets IRS in the corner for a choke slam. Flair just chops Taker, and Taker just kind of turns around to face him. It's just really weird.
Well, he's no sell dead man, is he, at this point? It's like the zombie
guy. I know we're getting jobber overload very soon. Have we reached jobber level yet?
No.
No, we're far from jobber level.
Savage, then, yeah.
Yes. Who cannot wait to get to Jake straight away, but can't.
Because Jake hides like a slimy snake.
Yep. Macho Man then eliminates Jake and then eliminates himself, chasing after Jake Roberts.
Snake punches the bandana off Macho's face, which I quite liked as well.
He does, yeah, he does. And does someone not then use it to choke someone?
It's in the ring for a while, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's Hogan's shirt, possibly, later on.
That's Hogan, yeah, it might be Hogan's shirt, yeah. But then there's a bit of confusion as to whether Savage is actually eliminated, because...
Is it Intaker goes, oh, Macho's done that wrong, I just need to drag him back into the ring and we can carry on properly?
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
They kind of, first of all, on commentary, they say, oh, Savage has eliminated himself because he's gone. And then, like, they say, oh, no, he's not. He can't, because he didn't have anyone eliminate him.
You can't eliminate yourself.
He wasn't propelled.
He was not propelled. Yeah. 22.
Right. I think I'm just about home and dry from 25 onwards. Now, okay. I could, hang on, what have I got? 22, 3, 4. I could name these three guys, but I don't know if I can get them in the right. Heel or face?
Heel.
Right, one or two. Jobbery or all right?
Jobbery.
Is it Skinny?
No.
Is it the Berserker?
It's the Berserker.
Right.
Half a point.
I haven't put much after that. 23?
Just say, when the Berserker comes out, you can almost hear the disappointment in Monsoon's voice when he says, oh, it's the Berserker.
We've got another one coming out. Let's take a look here. Who is it? And what's his specialty? The Berserker.
Are we still very much jobberific?
Yeah, very jobberific. Yeah.
Is this one Skinner or...?
It's a face.
Or is it Virgil?
Yes.
Let's say Virgil's... He just came out, right? Yes. Number 23, right? Who knows how many bags he's gone through in the bag when you stop?
all these people in the ring and how many people of those bags has he gone through? 24, Al.
Right, jobbery?
Yeah, pretty much by this time.
Yeah.
Is it Martel?
You're one ahead of yourself again, Alan.
Oh, hang on. You aren't setting me up here because I thought he was number
25. No.
No,
number 24?
24. I know, hang on.
Probably at his peak at WrestleMania SummerSlam last year.
Think about Mustard.
Oh, the Iron Sheik, of course. I forgot. Yes, Colonel Mustafa.
No, it's Colonel Mustafa. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
At what point do we get a special hello to our friends on Sky TV in England?
Which is never as good as when Jim Ross used to say, you know, all our UK fans staying up late tonight to watch blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Can I just quickly throw something up there? This Royal Rumble was indeed broadcast on Sky Movies Plus.
They were, weren't they, initially, I think?
Yeah. Was it not the fact that the Sky Movie channels were the only channels that you could have the sort of pay for it and... No,
because you had Sky Sports by then. I'm sure you had Sky Sports by 92 because the Premier League started then.
Yeah. The Premier League's first season was 93, 94.
Oh, maybe it was like a year later at Sky Sports then.
No, it was 92, 93, wasn't it?
92, 93. I almost thought it was just before the World Cup, but led into the USA 94, the first season of the Premier League.
Oh, no, maybe you're right. Hang on. 93, 94. No, I think you're right. 93, 94 could be right.
Was it 91, 92? Yeah. Was Aston Villa the last? Was it Aston Villa were the last champions or was it Leeds last champions?
No, Leeds United.
Yeah.
Because they played Rangers in 1994 what was then the European Cup.
Did Blackburn win 93, 94 or was it 94, 95? No, 94, 95 was Blackburn and that was the second one. So yeah, it must be what you said.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
25, Martel. The model, yes. Martel, sorry.
Mustafa has gone, by the way, in this time.
And then they were Macho. I think... Heenan starts talking about Hogan lucking out at this point on this draw. Wink.
Is it Hogan next?
26, Allies.
Yes, it's
the racist mahogany bastard himself.
I bring it down here. So he comes straight in. I take I rake on Taker straight away.
Yeah, straight to the I rakes.
Straight on the I rake.
Hogan eliminates Taker, then Berserker, and so and Virgil then eliminate each other. Weirdly.
Yeah.
27 now.
Wait, again, with the cheating Hogan. So at this point, after eliminating Berserk, he takes his shirt off and then starts choking Martel with it.
Yeah, he just
for no reason. He just starts choking out Martel with his shirt. It's like, what the hell are you doing? You're supposed to be the good guy. What's going on?
It's just crap. Where do we get to now? 27?
Yeah, Skiller comes in. There's a weird visual of IRS wearing Hogan's ripped shirt like a scarf.
Yeah, it's a bit strange.
It's just like a weird visual just there for a second. It's like, what, I don't understand what's going on.
It's a bit strange. 28, Al.
It's one or two. I'm probably going to punt Slaughter.
Yes.
Skinner by this time has gone already. Macho chokes IRS with Hogan's shirt.
Piper and Hogan just start eye raking each other.
Yep. 29.
Sid.
Yes. Who does the moronic thing of chucking IRS over the top rope, but then not finishing the job and just turning around and walking away as IRS slips under the bottom rope again. Number 30.
Well, Monsoon spoils it for me anyway.
What?
Monsoon announces who it is before he even comes through the curtain.
No secret involved here. The guy who drew number 30 is going to be coming out in 5 seconds, and it'll be no surprise. It is the Warlock. But you never know. You can only be one guy. I told you, the Warlord. I knew it, I was right.
And what about this? At this point, Slaughter gets eliminated by Justice, by Sid just basically throwing him over the turnbuckle in a really horrible way.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
you can kind of imagine like doing that to Michaels, because he's probably athletic enough to take that kind of bump. But by this stage, Slaughter's like...
Slaughter, I love taking that bump. That's one of Slaughter's trademarks.
Nasty as anything, man.
It does look a bit nasty, like.
So that's Slaughter gone. IRS gets eliminated by Piper by using his tie. Shouldn't have worn a tie, should he?
Shouldn't have worn a fucking tie.
He'd be a champion by now.
Flair and Hogan end up brawling outside.
Yeah.
It is patently obvious at this point in time that the original WrestleMania 8 main event was going to be Hogan and Flair.
Yeah.
Because it's all the interactions between them two.
Yeah. Warlord goes out, the beef gets eliminated by Hogan and Justice.
Yes, Warlord goes quite quickly.
Yeah, Piper and Martel get eliminated by Justice. We've got Justice, Hogan, Flair and Savage left.
Which is not a bad final four.
But doesn't Savage sort of like... Savage is like he's asleep and Justice doesn't want to wake him up. So he very gently carries him over the top rope.
Yeah. I suppose Savage is held up by Justice, but Flair running knees them both. Macho is gone. Justice is busy watching Hogan try to dump Flair out, but he chucks Hulk out instead.
Yep.
And Hulk Hogan, rather than buggering off, Hogan just sticks around. So Hogan pulls Justice out to the outside, which is a totally scuzzy heel move.
Ooh. He's a heel. He's just such a heel at this point. I mean, on the network version, I think it does have the pop for Hogan being eliminated, doesn't it?
I think it does, yeah.
Because a lot of the tapes at the time, they kind of mixed in the booth, didn't they? But it does have, I think they, don't know if it's the original audio or whatever, because, you know, you can't always trust what's on there with, you know, with them editing the files and everything. But it does sound like there's a big pop when Hogan goes out and they are cheering for Justice. So
yep.
That kind of thing holds water, isn't it?
Already at this point, I mean, what? It's going to be another 5 years until Hogan has a major over. No. 4 years,
yeah,
until Hogan has a major overhaul of his character, and then even then, as we know, it won't even be in the WWF. But I think people are already sick of him already.
Yeah,
I wasn't,
but you're different.
You're different to all everyone else. But then Flair's champ. But this is my big point. Flair then has to leave the arena because we're going to have a Sid and Hogan stare down. So regardless of the fact that Flair is the bloody world champion. And he's come from the NWA, and he's now the top of the hill, and he's going to cut a promo. He can't cut
and
that
he's
promo.
He's lasted
in the
an hour.
Yeah, he's lasted an hour. He's broken the record for the longest time in the Rumble. No. Yeah. He has to go to the back and have a sort of, you know, backstage promo, because Hogan and Sid Justice are going to have a little bit of a stare down.
Flair wins, and Hogan is last in the ring. Sigh,
yep. And then they have a little kind of...
I'll kill you.
I mean, the Flair promo backstage is good. It gives good.
The Flair promo was amazing. When you're the king of the WWF, you're the king of the world.
The press is what? Do you know what I mean? Like the press is there as he's doing the promo or something. Super
yeah, exactly, exactly. And it's like Mr. Perfect with his. We don't want to be the guys to say we told you so.
But we told you so.
Okay, very good.
Don't forget, put that cigarette out.
Yeah, I'll put that. That's my final word in my notes. Put that cigarette. Who was smoking?
Ric Flair, you have made world. Put that cigarette out. You have made World Wrestling Federation history here tonight.
Well, apparently, I've done some research on this.
Oh, here we go.
I thought that's exactly what I've asked, Al, because I knew you had.
Apparently, he mentions it very briefly on the History of the Royal Rumble DVD.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if this is some sort of hidden extra, but it's on like the intros to it, but it's not mentioned again on the disc. And he says, yeah, you know, that was 20 odd years ago, and people still come up to me and ask Dakota, put that cigarette out. But anyway, another story is some guy on the website claims, again, I'm only going with what he says, claims that he asked Mean Gene years ago when he met him, you know, what was going on. And apparently Mean Gene couldn't recall it very well. But then eventually did, and literally says, he just basically, some guy was smoking, one of the production's crew, and he thought it was terrible that the, you know, smoke would get on there, and he just said, put it out. That was pretty much the story.
I suppose, yeah, you wouldn't want, you know, like, here's the place that looks like it's on fire. A little bit of smoke rising from the thing. So yeah, then we're out.
Montage to finish with a funny song over the top.
Yeah, the montage of highlights, which is kind of like a early version of the recaps that they have now on Raw every single 20 minutes.
And a music reference. I know what song they play off the top of it.
Oh, here we go.
Go on.
It's a Rush.
Yes.
Is that because it's a reference to LODs? Ooh, what a rush.
That was the 1992 Royal Rumble, the pay-per-view that got me into wrestling. Looking back, it's still the best Royal Rumble match.
Yes.
I'm calling it. It's still the best actual Royal Rumble match.
I'm backing Cam up on that one.
Ooh.
Still the best.
I have to do still some research, but
the best. There is nothing has ever come close.
Is that fact or is that nostalgia talking there, Cameron? Or?
No, that is me talking.
I mean, I know it's you.
I, yeah, no.
I'm not disputing that. I can hear you. I can see your face on Skype.
For the world, you know, that's it's the best Royal Rumble match. Still the best Royal Rumble match.
Okay.
What, 25 years later?
Mm-hmm.
Still the best Royal Rumble match. Quarter of a century on.
Already. Okay then.
Yep.
You're wrong, but you know.
Are you not? You're not. Well, what's better than it?
I don't know. I need to do some research.
Well, yeah. Well, there you go. You don't even know. You don't even know.
You don't even know. This is Mr. Politics. I'm not having you calling another thing.
You don't even know. Well, you're not even putting anything up in opposition to it.
Because I can't think of anything right now.
How am I politicizing this? You are unable to provide a counter-argument. You
politically outmaneuvered me before I even knew there was a maneuver going on.
What about this year's Royal Rumble?
Shut up, Al.
No. No, not as good as this.
Last year's was better still.
Not as good. You can take your 40-man to 2011 one. No, not having that. The one Sheamus one, not having that.
About the one Batista one. About that one.
Maybe. It's 97's a decent one as well.
That's 97 is nowhere near this. Hey!
You'll notice I said it's a decent one, but it's not as good as this.
What with fake Razor Ramon and some Mexican guys thrown in there?
Two entries. You know, you've got Stone Cold getting the controversial finish, and then it kicks off the whole Bret Hart thing. So yeah, I still say it's the, as far as a pay-per-view goes, it kind of, the undercard's a little bit lacking.
But Mountain when you've got a Royal Rumble that good, who cares?
It is a story of two halves, isn't it? It's, you know, you've got a decent opener, one of the worst matches that's ever been spewed onto my face.
It's a term.
Literally, just the Bushwhackers go out into the ring, take a shit in the middle of the ring, would have been better than that match.
By the way, I think that match lasts 14 minutes.
10 minutes of that is Luke looking to the crowd going, shall I shake his hand?
The Bushwhacker Beverly Brothers match goes on longer than the title match.
Ridiculous. Where is it on the chart? Where is it? Where do we place this Rumble on the list of pay-per-views?
What was the previous top?
WrestleMania 8 still top. I would put it at number 4.
No, yeah, bollocks.
What's second and third?
The number 1 is WrestleMania 8.
Uh-huh.
Number 2 is Wrestle Kingdom 8 in Tokyo Dome.
Wrestle Kingdom 8 in Tokyo Dome.
Number 3 is SummerSlam 2002. And number 4 is Survivor Series 1995.
Yeah, 4th.
Number 5 is King of the Ring 93.
Oh, God.
Well, I would say this is number 2, if not number 1, easily. It's historical significance.
I know Alan's only saying that because he's racist to the Japanese there, so we can ignore that vote.
No, I'm saying I'm agreeing with him. Because the pay-per-view, as good as Wrestle Kingdom is, this means far more to me than Wrestle Kingdom does and ever will.
Yeah, but just the quality of it, though. Come on.
Shut up, Phil. Shut up. It's you don't have a 50% vote for putting it in second place now.
You will not let it go above Tokyo Dome, will you, Ewan?
Absolutely not.
Thank you. 3 at tops.
All right, we'll put it in third then.
Yeah.
I'm still not happy.
As a kind of executive decision, an agreement between... Is that a compromise?
I think the fact that that Bushwhackers match on this card drags that down way more than that.
You're letting the greatest tag team in all history cloud your judgment of an overall show. I'm disappointed.
We'll put it at number 4 then, yeah? Number 4.
No, 3. 3.
Number 3.
Third.
Yeah.
Third on the list. Third.
All right, fine.
That's the compromise I'm willing to give you. 3.
See, so the only one you're getting. I'm still going to... I'll just change this in the edit and it's fine we said them before earlier really, and just paste it over the top.
Three.
It's good. No, it can't have Ty Dillinger's number. It can't have a perfect 10.
The third best pay-per-view, isn't it, Phil? The third. Because it's in number 3 now, isn't it, Phil? 3.
I'll just take all those out. You can't beat me. I'm the editor.
Okay, right. What are we doing next time then, chaps?
Well, funny you should say that, Al.
I said it a minute ago.
And you said it a minute ago. But we've had a listener request.
Wait, so there was a stress?
Yes, we have a listener.
I mean, admittedly, oh, it was. I don't even know what the request was now.
I've got it in front of me, Phil.
When was it?
It was, well, when? It was on the 12th of May 2016. This poor fella. I don't know. I'm really hoping he still listens because it's going to take us nearly a year to get round to it. Simon Stevens has said, a confusing but decent WCW pay-per-view that has to be covered is the Lethal Lottery. I'm sure it was a Starrcade. And then he's later said, the one I was thinking of was Starrcade 91 Battle Bowl, but it seems that that took place in 1990 as well as a standalone Battle Bowl pay-per-view. So there you go. So we're going to do Starrcade 1991, which was the Lethal Lottery, the tag team Lethal Lottery.
Thank you, Stone Cold Simon.
Thank you for that. We're going to do it. It's from the December the 29th, 1991, from the Norfolk Scope in Norfolk, Virginia. The event consisted of the Battle Bowl Battle Royal and its Lethal Lottery tag team qualifying matches. 40 wrestlers paired in randomly chosen tag teams competed in qualifying matches. The winning team advanced to the 20-man Battle Bowl Battle Royal to determine the winner. This sounds like peak early 90s WCW.
But so it's a load of wrestlers.
I think the winner gets a ring.
Is that the Battle Bowl ring?
Ring? Like the actual ring. They get to take it home.
Yeah,
the
whole ring. Battle Bowl ring.
A Battle Bowl ring. They're fighting over a ring.
It sounds like one of those.
I wasn't to fight in an actual ball.
It sounds... Oh, this sounds amazing.
It's one of those overly complicated WCW pay-per-views that like has like four pages of text on the screen explaining the rules.
I think it's one of them ones that they're going to have to spend a good 5 minutes explaining the rules on graphics on the screen before that.
And they have to keep repeating the rules during every single match during the whole card because people keep forgetting it because it's so complicated.
Yep, pretty much. And the commentators won't be clued in at all.
Yes.
Nope. But I'll have
just
to
how
watch
we like
this.
It. Yeah, you will, Alan. You will.
I can't go off my memory.
You made me watch the Beverly Brothers versus the Bushwhackers stinking out the Knickerbocker Arena.
Come on, even I wasn't that fucking stupid to watch that again. I mean, come on.
You turncoat.
Anyway.
We're done.
So that's what we're doing next time. We're pretty much done. How do you get in touch with the show, Phil, if people want to get in touch with
the
show?
Well, you go to Facebook and search for Conquistadors. You can find it on there, which is how Simon found us and did his little message on there. You can go to Twitter at Conquistadors.
Yes.
Where we rarely post things, but, you know, it's nice to have followers.
Yes.
I'm at Ewan and Jafil. Cameron's at Cripple H. Ewan's at Wandering Ewan. And Al's just somewhere around Newcastle somewhere, I assume.
Yes, just wandering the streets.
Somewhere being Geordie drinking a bottle of Nuki Brown Ale.
Yes, indeed.
That's pretty much as you find us. If you're looking for an eye test in the Cumbria area, you might get Cameron, who knows?
Well, tomorrow, yeah, you probably will, because Al's got a day off because he's watching the Grand National.
The best day of the year.
Is it, though?
Yes.
Is it for a wrestling podcast? Is that really the best day of the year?
Well, what was it? Was
you,
it
don't, you don't, Phil, you're underestimating this man's love of the Grand National.
It's the Royal Rumble of horse racing.
Yeah, because it
what?
Was.
They put 30 horses in the ring.
When they
and
fall
they
down,
out.
They get 40, shot.
40 horses.
Wish they did that to the Bushwhackers, man. Out of the ring, one on the back of the head. Sort out the rest of us.
You missed that bit in the Royal Rumble when Volkov got eliminated and they put a little green curtain around him.
For the best. It's for the best. You won't feel a thing. Wow, what a dark end to finish on.
Yeah, it was a bit dark, yeah. So,
bye.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, but next time we'll be in the star or something, nice and bright.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
It'll be fine.
This can't be a dark wheel. Shinsuke Nakamura's on the SmackDown brand now. It's going to be amazing.
I need to create myself again.
Yeah.
And now I've got the Hardy Boys back, so I'm happy.
Delightful.
Are you going to play out with theme music again, like you've been doing the last couple of times, Phil?
I don't know. I was thinking of using the montage music for the end of the Rumble, to be honest.
Rush. Right, use Rush. Oh, hang on. Sorry. What? What music do you get at the end of the network version?
I can't even remember. It's just funny music.
I don't remember. It was just kind of. I wanted. I had it in my head. It was the da 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 ding 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 ding. That one.
That's on the home video, but on the original cast, there's the song by Rush. It goes away. Dun 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 dun. That one.
Hold on. What did you think it was called again, Al?
I think it's called Rush. There's my thing, or Where's my thing?
Rush. There's my.
That is a brave Google search.
No, it is here. It is right. Hold on, Al. I don't know if this is going to come through, actually.
It's quiet at the start.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I know what you mean now.
This is making for excellent audio entertainment, this is.
Neither you can hear that, can you?
No, we can't.
No.
but everyone can hear it on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. I've just seen it. Yeah, he's right. Yeah,
it's on YouTube.
Well, of course, many things are. Not us. But never mind. Right.
Okay, we'll finish then, shall we?
I think we'll probably finish there on that
that incredibly awkward note.
On that note of Canada's finest export.
Is that Storm?
On Canada's second finest export.
Thank you. That's Dina Bravo.
Third.
Earthquake.
No, Canada's export. Wayne Gretzky, fourth.
Earthquake.
Earthquake. Sixth.
Stole.
The cast of Saturday Night Live.
Kevin
Brian Adams.
Naming Canadians now.
Yeah, we're just naming Canadians now.
Okay, well, I'll just fade out on this naming Canadians then. Dan Aykroyd.
We've forgotten Bret Hart.
That moves from Northern Exposure.
Stu Hart.
Chris Benoit.
Mike Myers.
Teddy Hart.
Yeah.
Bruce Hart.
Yeah, all the.
Cowboy Jacket Forever.
Yeah.
Bulldog.
Edge,
Edge Christian.
Sami Zayn.
Chris Jericho.
My ex girlfriend.
Al's ex. Shout out to Al's ex.
A lot of Canadians.
And we're done.
It's a lot of Canadians. Yeah.
The dog got so annoyed he just barked at me. He's just like, just stop the podcast.
The Mountie.
Phil,
do us a favour and just fade out to the Canadian National Anthem.
Okay. The Rouge Rose, though, Canadian, weren't they?
Definitely they were Canadian.
Frenchie Martin?
Was he French? He was. Yeah. Alanis Morissette, she's Canadian.
She's Canadian.
Yeah.
Maple syrup.
I like maple syrup.
That's if you buy it properly, that's definitely Canadian.
Good maple syrup is good, yeah.
Definitely Canadian.
Right, Trish Stratus, we haven't heard her yet.
Trish Stratus.
Are both of them Canadian?
Yeah.
He's a Jerry Lawler joke there.
Well, maple syrup and. Oh, right. I was going to say maple syrup and Trish Stratus. Yeah, that's an odd combination. That's pretty specialist.
Yeah, again, that'd be a Lawler thing, wouldn't it?
Probably, yeah. He'd definitely have something to say about that.
Yeah.
All
right. Oh, Canada. Na, 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 na. Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
René Goulet, see.
Yeah, I'm really awful. I'll start naming every single Canadian known to mankind.
Bye, you.
Bye.
Bye.
Vinnie Young's Canadian. She's nice.
Terrence and Philip are Canadian.
True.
Is that Al gone as well?
I don't know, is Al still there?
I'm just thinking of Canadians.
You're thinking of more Canadians.
Avril Lavigne?
Yeah, she's Canadian, yeah, totally. I felt a bit sorry for her, actually. Not because she's Canadian.
I was going to say, what's wrong with being Canadian?
No. Do you know? Remember that Avril Lavigne got despite being a purveyor of pretty crap pop songs, she got bitten by some sort of insect when she was out a couple of years ago, and it's given her some sort of it saps her energy. She can't do anything.
That's a shame.
it's some kind of virus she ended up contracting, and it means that, you know, she's got like the equivalent of ME or something like that. You know?
That's horrible.
Which is not good.
Yeah. She's still Canadian though, so you know.
No, she's still Canadian, so she's got that going.
Got anyway. It going for her.
But there you go. Yeah, I can't think of any more Canadians.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Conquistadors have left the building.
This will be the bits that you'll play over the start of the actual podcast anyway, isn't it? There'll be the music in the background. It'll just be us kind of going,
where's Al? That's prime time. Where's, prime time's a different edit mindset, I tell you.
Oh, right, see, is it different? I hadn't noticed, Phil.
See, between the two, right, you listen to this, you'll learn.
Okay.
When I do this show, like, it's the cold open, then the music, and it fades out underneath as like a bed. But when I'm doing, and then the audio clips come in with the audio noise throughout the show, but on prime time I don't do that. I kind of fade it in and out. I got a looser feel to it. Bit more wee, bit more whoa, bit more easy, boys.
Right.